been talking this entire series. It's been titled "Listen to Women Preach," and people have said, "Wow, you're going there," and we have, and we have the audacity to go there to say, "Let's look at Scripture and see what Scripture tells us over and over and over again." We've had a fun time doing it because we love to listen to Scripture every chance that we get around here, because there's a lot of voices these days. I don't know if you've heard plenty of voices, and not every voice has good advice. How many of you guys have ever received bad advice before? Okay, lots of you. Now I sent out that text message. If you're not getting text messages from us, make sure and scan that QR code. You can text the word connect, you can text the word start, you can text like your thumb in your nose, whatever it may be, and you can go. And so I asked the question, what bad advice have you ever gotten? And it says this one: you should go out with him, he's hot. But they left out that the last girl he was with, he abused. Ooh, yeah, that one took a turn right there, right? That was definitely there. There's other interesting ones. This one: remember, you are limited because the pigmentation of your skin. How many of you guys would agree that that's some pretty bad advice, right? Okay, all right, making sure. All right, that is horrible advice. There's some others if I need to lighten the mood, like when in the woods, right? If this one is very, very, very bad news. Make sure and use leaves of three after you pee. Bad advice. There's some others that I've seen this circulating to make sure, like, we've got cold temperatures coming, and we're gonna wake up one of these days, and there's gonna be that four-letter word sitting on our windshield, right? And some people have said, make sure and get some boiling hot water. Like, if you don't want to use those ice scrapers, just use boiling hot water and throw it on your windshield. Don't listen to that advice. That is bad advice. If you're new to Indiana, just break out the credit card or break out the ice scraper. Whatever you do, do not throw hot water onto your windshield, or you will not have a windshield. Maybe you received this type of advice after that first date. Ladies, if a guy's not texting you back right away, make sure and text him seven more times, because he's probably busy. And you're right. Or how about that advice of hey, why don't you just add that ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend as your friend on Facebook? Yeah. Even though you're married, right? Or that coworker that says, don't worry, just call in sick. It doesn't matter that much. It's not that bad. This one about financial advice. Number one way to build your credit card, right? Number one way to build up your credit, get a credit card, max it out. And then get more and max them out, right? You're going to build your credit, and they're going to see that you can't pay your bills, right? There's a lot of bad advice that goes out around there. And today, I'm sure that we've all learned the hard way that not every voice deserves our attention. And that's kind of what a lot of this series has been about. That there's been voices in our lives that have said one thing. But is it biblical? Does it line up with the totality of Scripture? There's this word, and sometimes it's only been used in churches, called discernment. Because is there one section of Scripture that you've been taught and been hammered into your head over and over and over that has framed the entire church? But we've seen in this series that both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that God has used women to complete his purpose time and time again. And that Jesus himself, as we heard from one of our district superintendents, the associate district supervisor, was here last week and talked about how Jesus let even Mary sit at his feet, a place that was only reserved for men. And he welcomed her. See, it's been those types of thoughts that have framed this entire series, that Jesus entrusted a woman with the first announcement of his resurrection, the most important message in history he gave to a woman, that Jesus defines worth and belonging by obedience to God, not a gender role, that Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" to the Samaritan woman. And then she is the one that goes and preaches the gospel, the good news that she has found Jesus, and brings the entire town maybe not the entire town, but brings people from the town back to see who he is. So this series wasn't just asking us to listen to women preach, but it shows us how women have stood up and did just what God was asking them to do. I really like Jael with the tent peg. That one was fun, right? And whatever we have, using it for the glory of God. And so, as we've talked about this, let me tell you, like, 6 weeks isn't enough to cover this topic. People have been fighting about this for thousands of years. And people have said, well, if people, you really think the church has got this wrong? Well, I think they did about slavery. And so, can we look at Scripture? Can we be willing to wrestle with it? If you want to do more, that same QR code, that same text message number that sends out messages all the time to us, if you text in the word homework, we've got college-level papers and podcasts and videos, 2 pages worth of information that talks even deeper than what we can go in here on a Sunday morning in 35 minutes. But today, I get the opportunity to talk how not every person who claims to speak for God actually does. Because there are voices that are worth listening to, and there are voices that are not worth listening to. And when we listen to the wrong voice, we're going to move in the wrong direction every single time. See, the problem isn't that there aren't enough voices. There are a lot of voices these days, right? Whether it's a podcast, whether it's a preacher, whether it's influencer, whether it's profits on YouTube that tells us how the rapture's happening on September 25th. Good to see you guys this morning. You did? You passed? I don't know. You're still here. But all they're there is for clickbait. And where'd they go on September 26th? They posted a video on September 27th, right? They were off by a year. Everybody wait till next year, right? See, the problem isn't that there aren't enough voices. It may be that there's too many and everybody's got a word. Well, today, we're going to see how that word better be in alignment with the word of God. Because not every word's his word. And if we don't have discernment, we're going to find ourselves following after charisma instead of character. We're going to find ourselves leaning on emotion and, oh, this makes me feel good, right? Scripture says the heart is deceitful above all else. Don't follow your feelings. Follow your faith. We'll follow emotion instead of truth. We'll follow manipulation instead of revelation. And one of the people that I see this the most, and they get a bad rap for it, but rightfully so, they earned this, is what happened in the days of Elijah when a woman named Jezebel. Anybody else have minions just go off in their head? Because they do. Every time I hear that, da, 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 right? Like Jezebel, oh, right? Like it's like Mufasa, right? Like it's that type of person, because what she does is not of God. And as we look at her, we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 18. And so if you got a Bible or an app, or even if you're following along in the Innovation Church app, we're going to be reading some verses out of 1 Kings 18. But as we pick this up, a little backstory on who Jezebel is. Because we just know her as married to King Ahab by the time 18 comes around. But in 1 Kings 16, 30 through 33, it says, Ahab, the son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord, right? These kings were always trying to one-up each other, right? And so they did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. He not only considered it trivial to commit these sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel. See, Ahab married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. See, that was just lower than Israel. That was just lower than Jerusalem. But the thing is, they did not worship God like the people of Israel did. They worshiped another god named Baal. And so this was two religions that were about to clash. But in order to gain, you know, political profit, in order to have peace between the places, in order to build a larger kingdom for himself, oh, just take the daughter of this one, right? What big deal is that going to make? It doesn't go well for Solomon either. But we see Ahab. He aligns Israel with the idolatry through marriage, through a political alliance. If that verse right there doesn't convince you that missionary dating and missionary marriage is a bad idea, then I don't know what does. Because Jezebel influences him to fully embrace Baal worship, intensifying the entire nations of Israel's spiritual decline. By the time we get to 1 Kings 18:4, it says, while Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, holy smoke, she didn't waste any time. What we got to understand about this time frame is that this is not like today. They didn't have copies of the Bible. There was no printing press that was already invented. It was not normal for people to have scripture. It was the prophets. It was the priests. It was the people that knew and studied and made a lifestyle out of studying the scriptures that would then deliver God's word, that would instruct people about God's word. And so Jezebel, that's exactly who she goes after. She's killing off the Lord's prophets. Obadiah sees this happening and he takes hundreds of prophets and hides them into two caves. And if you read the rest of 1 Kings 18, it's awesome. Mount Carmel, there's fire. And like Elijah's like, oh man, like you want to see what your king can do? And okay, dance around, pray, do everything. And then he says, hey God, you want to take this out? Fire falls from heaven. Great story. Amazing story. We've taught on that story quite a few times here at Innovation. It's awesome to see what God can do. But this flip side of the coin, Jezebel, even after that showdown happens in 1 Kings 18 between the prophets and their gods and Elijah, Jezebel sends a messenger to Elijah saying, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if this by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them, like that of one of the other prophets that I had killed. Maybe you've heard that story. Elijah runs away with his tail between his legs. But as we look at Jezebel, right? Women not to listen to preach. We see in her character that she's promoting something other than God. She's promoting Baal. She kills off the messengers of God, kills God's prophets, and consolidates control. And she threatens the very life of God's chosen prophets, even after God's miraculous intervention on Mount Carmel. And I don't know how many messages you've heard. They circle around quite widely about a Jezebel spirit. And rightfully so. Because I think this Jezebel spirit thrives when God's people stop discerning. Stop listening to the voice of God. Stop reading the word of God. Stop using it as their mirror, as their compass, as their guide, as the lamp unto their feet and the light unto their path, and just start wandering, start wondering, start pulling. See, because while she's killing off the prophets, Jezebel's using her influence to silence God's voice in the land. She wasn't content with just being queen. She wanted control at a whole different level. She manipulated, she intimidated, she dominated, not because she was powerful in God, but because she wanted God's power. That's what this Jezebel spirit does. It doesn't submit to authority. It usurps it. It tries to take over it. It wants to take control of it, to manipulate it. It doesn't do the mission of God. It tries to splinter that. It doesn't build up others. It bullies them and takes them out. And before we start thinking, oh, yep, that's why we shouldn't listen to women preach, because they're susceptible to that spirit of Jezebel.
I don't know where that voice came from. It's not about gender. That spirit could be on a man or a woman who tries to take spiritual authority that doesn't belong to them, tries to manipulate others, tries to lure them away from God's word. I don't think we should listen to anyone, male or female, that is trying to lead this way. A pastor is to be a shepherd that's caring for others. And I've been so proud of the ladies that have come in and spoke on this series and spoke on this topic when they easily could have said, yep, you. And if they would have sounded like that, I would have told the sound guys, cut them off, right? That would have demanded authority and demanded that you listen, but they simply came and said, we're not trying to steal authority. We're trying to walk side by side, and let's go after God. Let's look at these women throughout Scripture that have simply done what God is asking them to do, and can we be people that do the same? To seek Him, to draw near to Him, and let Him draw near to us, and just simply stand up and do what He's called us to do. That's not what Jezebel does. See, as we look at this Jezebel-type leader, though, how can we tell the difference between them and somebody that's anointed by God, somebody that's called by God? Are there things to pick up on? And I think so. Paul gives Timothy instruction in 2 Timothy 3:13 and 14. He says, evil people and imposters. You've ever known any of those? Paul says, evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse. They will be deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. See, I think the number one way to know the difference between a Jezebel-type leader and somebody who's truly anointed by God, I once took a trip, and I don't know, I'm getting old, so I don't remember everything, but it was either like the U.S. Mint, like where they made money, or I know it was the place where they shred money, because I remember they gave us a little bag and I thought I was a millionaire because it was all shredded and my gut object was to go home and glue it all back together. but it was a treasury or a reserve or something like that. They're all over the country. And we got to go and tour and see and everything like that. But there was, I remember this distinct lesson where they talked about counterfeit bills. And they talked about, and you can confirm this with Mandy because she worked at a bank, and many of you have worked at banks, and what she told me was the exact same thing that they taught us there, is that in order to spot the counterfeit, they studied the original. They studied that $100 bill. And this was a few years ago, guys, way before there was colors and holograms and everything. Remember, like, when there was just a strip and you'd try to pull it out and, like, tape it on another dollar bill? None of you tried to do that? No. You would study how it felt. You would study that strip. You would study the different things that were on and where they were placed on the $100 bill and how they wouldn't be the same and a counterfeit, so that you would get so used to what was real, that by the time the counterfeit came there, you could touch it, you could smell it. It would just be instant. There would just be all these triggers that would go off in you because you knew the real thing. Church, we've got to know God's word. We've got to understand God's word. We've got to read God's word. When Jesus leaves and he talks about the Holy Spirit coming and how he's going to bring back to your remembrance what I have taught you. I found it really hard for things to be brought back to my remembrance if I never put them in the first place. And so this very first point of how to know the difference between Jezebels and the Jezebel spirit versus others is to know your word. If you don't know the word, you're never going to recognize the counterfeit. That's why we always are pushing next steps. Because the very first part of Next Steps, and if it's your first time here, there's actually going to be one coming up on a Wednesday at the end of this month, and the very last Wednesday of this month. And the very first thing, it's not like, hey, join our church. The very first thing that we think everybody should know is how to know God, how to pray, how to read your Bible, how to hear His voice while reading your Bible, because it's not the audible voice of God that gets me through every day. It's what He speaks through His word, His living word. And it never returns void. And He's always wanting to speak to us through it. And we've got to know His word, or we're going to fall for the counterfeit every single time. So they're going to sound good. They're going to look good. They're going to dress nice. They're going to have all the flash and all the show. They're going to touch the emotions. There's ways to manipulate those things. But on October 29th, right here, we're going to be talking about knowing God. If you haven't taken Next Steps, I would encourage you. Like that whole QR code, text Next Steps, all that fun stuff. Because Jezebel rose to power when people stopped listening to God's voice. She was the one that silenced it. Yeah, that's right. The people started to easily fall, started to easily turn, started to easily worship Baal because God's voice was silenced. We have so many opportunities, sometimes too many opportunities, to listen. But are we going to dig into God's word for ourselves? That's why we've done this whole series, jumping in the Old Testament and into the New Testament, saying, God, what have you done with women? What is this playing field? How have you made it equal? Why have you made it equal? And next week is the Q&A Sunday where we answer some of those questions. You also know a leader by their fruit, right? We're told in Scripture that you'll know others by their fruit, not their following. You'll know them by their fruit. Are they producing love? Are they producing joy? Is there peace, kindness, patience, goodness, self-control in their lives? Or is there chaos, a lack of control, and nothing but confusion? We'll know others by their fruit. You'll also start to notice if your life, who you're following, is your life going from bad to worse? Because just like Paul said, it's going to look the same when you're listening to them instead of listening to God. So we've got to know His word, or we're never going to recognize the counterfeit. Titus 1:10-11 says, for there are many rebellious people. Just in case you didn't know that, there's a few. But there are many rebellious people full of meaningless talk and deception. It says they must be silenced because they are disrupting whole households. The Jezebel spirit's going to sound a lot like gathering a bunch of chickens that we talked about a few years ago, right? They're just going to go around and mutter and complain and cause division. Instead of saying, you know what, don't let the sun go down on your anger, they're going to be like, oh yeah, you should be angry. You should be mad about that. You should, right? They're just going to poke and prod. Never return you back to God's word. They're just going to get you caught up in emotion. You got a few people that are just telling you to do that about your anger. Oh, it's okay. Just vent, right? Proverbs talks about venting and how fools vent their anger. So we've got to be on guard. Paul's saying not to attack people. He's saying to protect the body, to guard your heart, to guard your home, to guard your church, because Jezebel's trying to divide what God is doing in and through it. Then number three, discern how they're leading. Paul's words in 1 Timothy 2:12. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week, I know. But this is where he says, I do not permit women to preach, right? Or I do not permit women to teach or to assume authority over man, right? A lot of people take that one. I met a Southern Baptist lady right at the end of the first service that was like, I've been taught that verse all my life. Well, I know you know what when you assume, but when we assume what that means, But if what if we dig in a little bit deeper into the Greek of what that means? That word assume authority in the Greek is this word, authentien. Authentien. I'm not good at Greek, but I know how to look it up. And it doesn't mean lead. It doesn't mean teach. It means to dominate. Oh. It means to control, to take authority by force. It means what Jezebel was doing. Paul, I don't believe, was silencing women, because he doesn't do that all throughout Scripture. But I do believe he was silencing these women. These women that were operating in this. Because in 1 Corinthians 11:5, right? He's not schizophrenic. He says, but every woman who prays or prophesies. He's not silencing him. But these women, he's confronting, I believe, this Jezebel-type spirit that was trying to seize leadership through manipulation in the Ephesian church. He was protecting order, not preventing the calling. And throughout Scripture, we've seen God affirming and using women mightily. We've seen even in this series, Deborah, I think it was that one. It was Deborah. Led a nation with strength and wisdom. We saw Mary, who was allowed to sit at Jesus' feet. Mary Magdalene was the first preacher of the resurrection. Priscilla, the one who actually helped teach doctrine to Apollos. I don't believe that Paul was against women in ministry, but I do believe he was against authentian authority and unauthorized control. Because we've seen God call women to lead, but he never calls them to manipulate. He calls men to lead as well, but never to dominate. That true authority in the kingdom comes from submission to the king. So Jezebel seized control. Deborah served under God's control. I think that's the difference between rebellion and revival. I believe that's the way we discern the difference between a Jezebel-type leader and somebody who's truly anointed by God. They're delivering God's words, not world's emotions, through the fruit that is produced in their lives and through the way they lead. And I'm here to say I believe this matters so much that I would do this series and kind of stir the pot and upset a few people. Because when we tolerate the wrong voice, we create the wrong... Yeah, there we go. You create the space for the wrong spirit. And it's that spirit that doesn't just cause division. I believe it kills destiny. It silences prophets. It chokes out purpose. It drives wedges and poisons churches, I believe, from the inside out. But when we discern, when we're on guard, when we stay rooted in His Word and stay rooted in truth, you don't just protect the church, you protect the move of God. And so as we get ready and wrap up today, as we close out today, I just have this one question. Whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice has been the loudest lately in your life? Has it been one of division? Has it been one of murmuring? Has it been one of complaining? Has it been a voice of fear? A voice of manipulation? A voice of offense? A voice that's trying to grab control and say, give me a seat at this table? Or has it been the voice of the Holy Spirit? Because the Jezebel spirit is saying, you can't trust authority. You've got to take control. You've got to have control. But as Ron's been reminding us, even through worship, God's in control. You've got to trust in Him. Follow after Him. So church, I'm trying to make sure that we're not listening to the wrong voice. Because when we listen to the wrong voice, we move in the wrong direction. Can we tune our ears to the right one and listen to what He has to say? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You today and we thank You for this past 6 weeks where we've been able to look at people who you've chosen to work through, male or female, and be challenged by what you've done in and through them. And God, as we've come together, we ask that you expose every false voice, the voices that have tried to pull us away from your truth, away from your word. God, I thank you for discernment. I ask for more. God, give us courage. God, we ask that you are the one that raises up men and women who are not seeking after a position, but they're seeking your presence, and they're leading others to you. God, help us be a church that are filled with builders, not manipulators, that are full of servants, not usurpers, people that are lovers of truth, not lovers of control. Now, as we stay in this moment of prayer, maybe you're here today and there's been plenty of voices that you've listened to. Voices that have said, you don't belong. Voices that told you that you're too far gone. Why would you even go? Why would you even walk into that church today? Voices that have said that you've made too many mistakes. That God could never and maybe even would never love you. That's the same voice that's tried to keep Israel away from the presence of God. And I'm here to remind you that that voice is a lie. And that Jesus, he silenced that voice. That moment he hung on the cross. He came to this earth, he lived a perfect, sinless life. But when he was nailed to that cross, he told that voice that it's finished. When he took your sin, when he took your shame, when he took the separation between you and God and he traded it for forgiveness, when he traded it for grace, when he traded it for freedom. So maybe you're here, maybe you're at home on a couch, maybe you're sitting in Starbucks online, and you're saying today, today's the day I stop listening to those lies. I stop listening to those voices, and it's time to start walking with Jesus. I've got a prayer that I would love to be a simple, kind of repeat after me prayer. It's simply that you're turning away from those voices and you're tuning into God and what he has to say to you. But church, I actually ask that you would pray that with those that are praying this for the first time. That your voice would help give them confidence. That they would hear you in Starbucks, even this morning, knowing that you're with them. That you would pray this prayer because you're willing to walk out this faith journey with them. So if you're here today, and you're tired of listening to the wrong voices, and you're ready to listen to the voice of God, you're ready to submit your life to him, to follow after him, would you pray this prayer after me? In church, would you pray it along with them? Pray, dear Jesus, I've been listening to too many voices. But today, I choose to listen to yours. Today, I believe you died for my sins, that you rose again so that I could have life. Today I ask you to forgive me, to save me, and to fill me with your spirit. Today I give you my heart, I give you my life, and I give you my future. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. Church, would you put your hands together for those that just said that prayer?